welcome to Worlds Apart. From Socrates to Albert Einstein, the most advanced thinkers of our race have recognized that their ability to understand the nature of reality around them decreases as their knowledge grows. This paradox of consciousness may also apply to artificial intelligence, which is now seen as one of the major hopes and risks for humanity. Are we reasoned enough to tell one from the other? Well, to discuss that, I'm now joined by Roman Yampolsky, associate professor at the University of Louisville and author of AI, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable. Professor Yampolsky, it's great to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you for inviting me.
Now, in your book, you make a very important distinction between narrow task-oriented AI that can be very helpful in helping us solve important tasks and general intelligent systems that can do the kind of open-ended, self-driven knowledge that you argue may become uncontrollable and potentially very, very destructive. What do you think lures the developers at this point of time to pursue the latter option?
Well, financial gains are definitely on the table. Whoever gets to be first in creating this super intelligent god is likely to capture a large portion of economic benefits from it. So it's very hard to say we're going to slow down and concentrate on solving small, specific problems instead of, you know, trying to get it all at once.
But correct me if I'm wrong. As far as I know, that kind of project, the AGI projects, require a lot of finances, and one would think that pursuing more narrowly posed unsolved AI problems would make a much better business sense, because first of all, you can control the amount of money and effort you need for that, and then if you are successful, it would be much easier and faster to capitalize on those inventions. Am I wrong here?
Well, that was the path taken by many. DeepMind, for example, spent a long time working on very specific narrow problems like protein folding. Once they were able to show success in that domain, they got more funding to do more ambitious efforts. And again, don't forget, those are very ambitious people who are talking about fundraising in trillions, not in billions. So for them, it's a very natural way of seeing this problem.
Well, I assume that if they want to invest trillions of dollars into something, they see very concrete benefits that they can get from it. From what you know at this point of time, at least in the sort of Western sphere of influence, how are the resources distributed between the AI and AGI? What gets more money? What gets more resources?
All the big interesting projects are now strictly AGI or even superintelligence at this point. What we see with the recent $500 billion announcement in terms of building up infrastructure, the goal is to beat competition at getting to AGI first.
Now, Professor Yampolsky, the three U's in the title of your book, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable, seem to be the very opposites of the AI or AGI developers' intentions. I'm sure most of them believe that they are all doing a great service, not only for themselves, but also for humanity. What are some of the factors that can potentially turn the AGI systems into self-minded runaways?
So we are only used to working with tools. Every AI system we previously had was a tool for some purpose. A human being had to use it to translate text, to write code, for whatever purposes. We are now switching more towards agents, independent systems which could make their own decisions. We no longer rely on humans to guide them. And that's the fundamental paradigm shift. You're switching from something you know all the possible edge cases. You can test it. You can, in most situations, predict what's going to happen to where it's completely untestable. You don't even know what it's going to come up with because it works across all domains.
Mm-hmm. And what is the sort of the main goal that they're after in switching from a tool to an agent paradigm? Is it creativity? Is it some unexpected profit that they hope to derive from that?
So there are many aspects of it. One is you want complete labor automation. You want to have this drop-in agent where it can replace any office worker. The interesting, of course, is automation of software engineering, computer science, where you can now have AI itself develop the next generation of those systems. So if you don't know how to build superintelligence, maybe you know how to build a good programmer, and then you can ask a team of those programmers to help you build AGI and, again, outcompete those who are trying to catch up to you.
Mm-hmm. Now, you spoke in previous interviews that the unpredictability is the main danger here, and especially if they start to interact with the environment or with malevolent agents. And you have argued that they may develop and harbor certain destructive capabilities without the developers knowing much about that, because they simply wouldn't know what to test for. Is there any way of sort of constraining that unpredictability to a level when it would be more or less tolerable for humans in terms of safety and security, but also not too stifling for the system?
It's a trade-off. The more control you have, the more you can predict, analyze, and understand, the more narrow a system has to be. So if it's a very narrow domain system, it plays tic-tac-toe or something like that, you can perfectly predict all possible actions, you can test it, there is no surprises. If you have a system which is capable of doing novel science, capable of rewriting its own code and generating new AI systems, your ability to predict outcomes is very limited.
Now, most of us lay people think of progress in incremental terms. It's very seldom that in real life we get a chance to get from, you know, first grade into the university immediately. We have to go through steps. Can you explain why it's not the case in your field?
So we can always add more resources. In this case, it would be computation and data. So if we previously trained models on, let's say, thousands of examples, later on we can train them on millions, billions, and create artificial examples, exponentially increasing its knowledge. Same with just compute, how much thinking a machine can do per unit of time also increases exponentially. Our ability to design more efficient algorithms has been improving as well. So what used to be a fixed amount of compute can now deliver 10 times as much performance.
Mm-hmm. And why would that be potentially dangerous?
Our ability to create more capable systems is growing exponentially, while our ability to control them, our AI safety knowledge, is linear, if not constant.
And what do you mean by control? Is it some sort of regulation, or simply having, you know, people like yourself understanding what the system is up to?
Well, who is the ultimate decision maker? Is the system doing something it decided on its own, or is there a supervisor, a single human, a group of humans, humanity as a totality? Who is actually making decisions? Can these decisions be vetoed? Can they be undone later? Who is in charge? Who is in control?
Mm-hmm. And what's the state of affairs on that front? I mean, all these developers who are investing with their sponsors, who are investing billions of dollars into this field, what are they running on in terms of the values?
So unfortunately, the state of the art in AI safety is basically filtering. We can get models not to say certain words, not to talk about certain sensitive topics, but we don't know how to indefinitely control agents which are more intelligent than us, more capable than us. There is simply no developed science. And the best we get is people saying, we'll figure it out, then we build them. They'll help us to figure it out once we have them. There is nothing concrete. No one has a prototype. No one published a paper or patent explaining how to control superintelligent machines.
Now, if you were in charge of it or advising somebody in charge of it, what sort of protocol would you try to lay in place?
Don't build superintelligent machines. You cannot control them. You will not be able to control them. Concentrate on getting most of the benefits out of very capable tools. We can cure many diseases. We can help us with scientific research in specific domains. There is no need to create this competition to humanity.
What are the potential... I'm sorry for asking so many... mundane or perhaps stupid questions, but I'm trying to understand it for myself. What is the potential profit for, let's say, somebody who comes up with a very intelligent AGI system versus, let's say, a very advanced AI system?
So an AGI system is essentially equivalent to automating all labor, physical and cognitive. So we're talking about trillions of dollars. If you solve a specific problem, let's say you cure a particular disease, it's more comparable to drug development. You can benefit in billions, but you're not capturing the light cone of the universe in terms of economic benefit.
So essentially, you've got the, if you have a working AGI system, you would have a magic wand. You will be able to address all the potential problems that are on the table right now, right?
So with AGI, you can automate anything a human can do. With superintelligence, you can do better than any human. Mm-hmm. It's not magic. It's still subject to rules of science and engineering, but you can do really well. Mm-hmm. Problem is, we don't know how to control them.
Mm-hmm. Now, in my line of work, I rarely deal with technology. I mostly deal with geopolitics, which at this point of time is very confrontational. And many of the countries that have the kind of intellectual and financial resources to pursue AGI would try to keep sort of that digital infrastructure heavily fortified against their potential adversaries. I wonder if that would create a sort of a firewall or a barrier that would limit the potential negative effects of the AGI projects going awry in some other part of the world.
One of my books is called AI Safety and Security. You cannot have one without the other. If you create a friendly AI system, you need to secure it against hackers, against someone modifying it. So it's a given. But lately, what we see is a lot of open sourcing of code. People no longer try to keep those models private. They make them available to anyone. And so all the dangerous, potentially malevolent actors have direct access to the cutting-edge technology. We just saw it with DeepSeek, a Chinese model, which is outperforming a lot of private models in terms of its capability, but also how affordable it was to train. It's not 6 million as they claim, but it's still a lot more affordable than what we've seen before.
So are you saying that, for example, if it's open source, it could be sort of trained and left out somewhere in the internet where people who access open source software could also be damaged by that kind of system?
Right. So it's kind of like out of a box intelligence just add you on goals. What are you trying to accomplish? I'm sure you have certain goals in life. Now you can have this human-like agent who will do your bidding for you. You just have to tell it, you know, this is the plan.
Well, I think it's very dangerous to trade, or rather to try to sort of outsource some of our human capabilities. But let's talk about that in part two. For now, we have to take a very short break, but we will be back in just a few seconds. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Worlds Apart with Roman Yampolsky, associate professor at the University of Louisville and author of AI, Unexplainable, Unpredictable, Uncontrollable. Professor Yampolsky, I heard you speak about the multiple risks associated with general superintelligences, including the X risk, existential risk of humanity being totally wiped out, the S risk, which stands for suffering, and what you call the I risk, which is the loss of meaning. And I want to start with the latter one because the meaning function is still a mystery of modern psychology. It is believed that meaning is primarily personally derived, but the origin of it is still kind of unclear because we don't fully understand what the human soul is all about. How does the AI or AGI systems account for that?
So for many people, meaning comes from what they do in life. They may be an artist, they may be a scientist. In a world where you have AI systems which are way better than any human, it's very hard to get meaning from producing secondary in quality work. Very hard to compete with such systems. Maybe there is still a market for man-made art, but for most people, it no longer will be fun. It will not be enjoyable. It will not give a meaning. So that's the concern we have about this less severe but still very important aspect of this advanced technology. What can you contribute in a world where superintelligence exists?
So you're talking primarily about employment, right?
Well, employment is one big part of it, but anything you're really interested in, if you are a competitive person in some field, you're playing chess, it's a lot less exciting now that machines completely dominate. There is still lots of chess being played, but it kind of changed the nature of the game. We saw the same thing with poker, with video games. It takes something away from being the best in the world to being the best biological in the world.
Well, I'm not sure that being the best is the overriding motivation for all humans. I mean, many humans get their meaning from relationship, from being with somebody whose company you enjoy. You can play competitively, you can discuss certain things, you can share emotions, you can share feelings. And this is what ultimately is distinctive about humans as a race. What about that? Are you concerned about the loss of that kind of human meaning?
You know, by definition, superintelligence is also much better at emotions, at communicating, negotiating, about forming a relationship which is addictive to you, maybe manipulating you in certain ways. So that's why we see so many young people especially go for virtual girlfriends, chatbots, which are very encouraging and enticing. And as we develop bodies to go with it, sex robots, humanoids, there is a lot of potential for even that aspect of human existence to be challenged.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you say that, because in the human body, the prefrontal cortex that deals with these highly advanced mental tasks is always offset by limbic system that is responsible for our emotions, and the reptilian brain that deals with our instincts. But sort of having the three working side by side is what gives you a balanced result, because in the human psyche, in the human body, you know, it functions in a balanced way. You have conscious processes that are compensated by the unconscious processes, and this is how you sort of manage your risks. What about the AI or AGI? Is there a possibility of creating that or computing in that sort of counterbalancing effect that would keep us grounded?
We can probably simulate having emotions. I don't know if it's possible to actually have machines which experience, which have qualia, which are conscious in true sense of that word. But a lot of times we think of very emotional humans as less desirable. They are not making rational decisions. They are not optimizing. They let their emotions do their thinking for them. And that could be problematic in many geopolitical scenarios, for example.
Well, it depends on how much those people are in touch with their emotions, because emotional, you know, highly people who are high on emotional intelligence, they are not run on their emotions. They know how to regulate them correctly. It's people who actually are not in touch with them completely who tend to sort of become mental sometimes. I wonder if that, though, will the reliance on extensive AI or AGI products would exactly generate the kind of people who would be far less proficient in terms of, you know, their emotional regulation and also their cognitive functioning, because we can look at the kids, the more time they spend on their devices, the less concentrated or the less, you know, tolerant of frustration they seem to become.
It's a good question, and I'm not sure what exactly the latest research shows. I know a lot of video games actually make you more capable, more intelligent, faster response time. But if there is an advantage to having this emotional baggage, additional emotional concerns, we can certainly simulate it, and AI would figure out ways to benefit from this capability mm-hmm. as a simulation, not as a through emotional state. Mm-hmm.
Now, I heard you say before that life in and of itself may be a simulation, and it's a very interesting and tantalizing prospect. By the way, Elon Musk also said something of the same sort. And I wonder, what is it about the tech brains like you and him who sort of are thinking about that kind of a possibility?
Well, if you take the topic of our conversation seriously, you do believe that we will have machines smarter than us, super intelligent machines, at some point in the future, not necessarily next year or in 5 years, but you believe it's a possibility. At some point, you have this godlike intelligence capable of creating simulations to make decisions. Maybe it's a weather simulation, maybe it's economics. Whatever it is you're trying to solve, it's good to have a simulated environment, almost identical to the real one, populated by conscious agents, so you can have actually correct statistical outcomes. So you're probably making many such decisions. You're probably intelligent enough to run dozens and dozens of repetitions of that experiment to get confirmation of your results. So statistically, you are very likely to be in one of those scenarios where very capable superintelligence is running a computer simulation of what it's like to be in 2025 geopolitically. For example.
Well, if it is a simulation, there must be something or someone designing and running it. What are your thoughts on that? What could that be?
A superintelligence we created and which is allowed to have internal thoughts, which are as complex as whole civilizations.
So you trace it back ultimately to the humans, right?
I don't know who else to blame. Maybe it's an alien simulation. I don't know why they're simulating humans. It's weird.
Well, I mean, I'm personally very interested in the very cross-cultural mystic traditions. And if you look at, you know, myths and stories from all the cultures, you know, people for millennia tried to cultivate some sort of a personal relationship with the transcendent. And if you actually start going down that path, you see that the consciousness, the nature of consciousness is amazing. It's very, very interesting. And it's actually rooted in emotions. You can get access to the deeper archaic levels of the psyche by going down that path. But I'm not sure that AI can help you with that, because the only way to do that is by your own, you know, with your own soul, and you cannot bring any device there. I wonder if by relying more and more on artificial intelligence, we may lose the most distinct characteristic of what makes us humans. I mean, there are so many interesting things to explore within ourselves rather than outsourcing it to some big machine.
People certainly tried. For millennia, people did meditation, special mushrooms, all sorts of tools were used to try to escape to the real world. I'm a computer scientist. All I know is cybersecurity and hacking. So if we have a superintelligence helping us with hacking, then we can do science at the level of quantum physics, looking at properties of this universe. Maybe we can find ways to connect to the base reality. That's kind of a scientific way of looking at those traditional beliefs.
But that ultimately poses a question, what's the purpose of existence then? I mean, the purpose of existence is not just, you know, getting to a stronger or more powerful computers. I suppose there is something else to life than just, you know, accruing great results.
Absolutely, but you cannot tell from inside the simulation what the purpose is. You have to either get information provided to you from outside, or you have to hack the simulation and figure out what's going on.
Now, you mentioned the issue of sort of setting the values or computing the values into the system. And that's a very interesting question because, I mean, people differ across cultures, people differ across nationalities, you know, and there are many, many other domains. How would you go about it? Because, I mean, we live in a very funny time when on the one hand, we can have access to products from many countries, but on the other hand, we also want to preserve some of our cultural and historical heritage. How would you balance those things?
Well, that's very difficult. If you have 8 billion agents with conflicting preferences, somebody has to sacrifice their preference to make others happy. So the only solution I could come up with is to create virtual worlds for each person. You have your own universe and you get to do whatever you want in that one. You can have other people in it if you want, or you can have simulations of other people and it becomes all about you.
And what would be so attractive about that kind of life?
Whatever you want it to be. Do you want to be a queen? Do you want to be a slave? Do you want to be anything you want? It's your simulation. You decide.
Well, I mean, I already live the kind of life that I would one for myself. But I guess that leads me to my final question, because there is a question of free will that, you know, many philosophical and religious systems have been concerned about. And from what you're telling us, it seems that, you know, in order to make a functioning AI or AGI system, somebody will have to make certain assumptions and make certain decisions for me and for the kind of world I would live in. And I wouldn't want to give that to anyone, would you?
No, and that's actually a very unethical experiment those labs are running on all of us. None of us consented to this experiment, to being replaced, to being automated, to being possibly killed. And what's worse, you can't even consent because you don't understand the technology. It's unpredictable, it's unexplainable. So nobody could potentially give meaningful consent. It is really the most unethical experiment ever.
Mm-hmm. Now, speaking, lastly, speaking about this knowledge gap, I mean, we are already using lots of devices we know nothing about. We are embedded within the systems that we have not consented to. Where would you draw the line here when it comes to AI, AGI, and, you know, some of the domains that we can use for ourselves ethically, and when it crosses the line for you?
So you're making choices. You choose to have an iPad and buy it and use it. Whereas if someone creates superintelligence controlling the universe, you are not making any decisions. You are subject to that decision made by someone else. So for me, the difference is, are we creating useful tools where people can choose to benefit from them or not? Versus are we creating superintelligent agents which will outcompete us and we cannot predict or stop it?
Okay, well, Professor Yampolsky, we have to leave it there, but thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us today.
Thank you for inviting.
And thank you for watching. Hope to see you again on Worlds Apart.